Expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Noreen, and welcome to Defy and Hustle Radio. I hope you're having a great evening. I have a wonderful guest sitting across from me, but before I introduce her, I wanted to tell you about, first of all, let me tell you about next week's guest. I have a really, really interesting man with a compelling story. His name is Dan Wise, and he'll be calling him, but Dan is from Federal Prison Consultants, LLC, which is a company he started really against all odds, and he'll tell us about that. But the reason he knows about federal prison is because that's where he ended up after making some wrong decisions about selling drugs. So, and this affected his family, it affected his life, but then he had a real turnaround, and now he's helping other people who are being faced with the consequences of white-collar crimes. So Dan Wise will be on, and you could take a look at him. He has a YouTube channel, and that is Dan Wise from Federal Prison Consultants, LLC. And then also, I wanted to let you know, I have some workshops coming up, and I really want you, if you're local, to consider meeting us. We are going to be at Blackstone Steakhouse on January, it's Saturday, January 4th, starting at 11 a.m. until about 12:30. 90 minutes. We're going to get right into setting our goals for 2020. You have to understand that life is going to come at you unless you get very clear and tell life what you expect to happen for yourself. And that is about really setting quantifiable objectives, my guest is shaking her head yes, along with deadlines about when you intend to achieve those objectives. They can be quantifiable, and I have a financial background, so I do like to set monetary goals because it's a way of playing the game, and it really is a game, but we have to get out there. I will walk you through some very simple steps, and I will tell you your world will start to change immediately once you set some goals and even release some things that you no longer need to be doing or spending your energy or your money on. As you step into 2020, it's supposed to be a really magical year, right? 2020, the year of seeing clearly. So come down to Blackstone Steakhouse in Greenwich, Connecticut, Saturday, January 4th at 11 a.m. Also, look out for an online workshop I'll be doing starting January 14th, which is a Tuesday, for 1 hour in the evenings. That'll be a group workshop called Find Your Voice in the Workplace and Expect Respect. So I do think that there's a lot of people out there right now that are realizing that they've been not presenting themselves in their fullest talents and authenticity. Maybe they've been tolerating situations for a long time, or maybe they just have more to contribute in the workplace, and it can be beyond the workplace. They have more to contribute, and they don't feel like they're putting it out there or that it's getting recognized. So I am doing a 5-week course. It includes 1 hour Tuesday nights starting January 14th, interactive live. It includes 30 days of emails with little practices you can put in place each day. And I promise you, you'll come out of the 5 weeks, if not sooner, having altered your ability to present yourself in a higher state of confidence and also communicate with people clearly, even when they're not being clear with you, so that you're really clearing up any issues you may have. And lastly, you'll make friends and you'll just learn a lot and you'll get to meet me. And also I offer a one-on-one session to each of the people that sign up to help coach you along with either finding your voice or any aspect of your life or career. So be on the lookout for that. I've really priced it at a very, very reasonable price. So that'll be on my website soon, and I'll tell you more about that next week. All that being said, and really, really equally as cool, I have a woman in front of me who is a Greenwich resident. She is the mother of three children, married mother of three children, and she runs a business in town called Round Table Nutrition. She also offers private healthy cooking classes. She does grocery shopping with some of her clients, and let her explain the rest. I have the nutrition expert, she's Catherine Steffieri from Roundtable Nutrition. So thanks for being on the show, Catherine.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Good. I think a lot of people were excited when I told them we were going to have somebody on to talk about nutrition. And we were just talking about it before the show a little bit because I think it's twofold, that people are confused. And I do think people are ready to take better care of themselves emotionally, physically, mentally. But it really, a lot of it does come down to what are we putting in our bodies.
Right, right. I think now nutrition is, it's really on the forefront of everyone's mind. But it does play into that whole idea that we were talking about, sort of the holistic approach to your own well-being. You know, how much sleep you're getting, the stress levels in your life, you know, physical activity, and just your general health and how nutrition can impact your immune system and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think it's a really wonderful time to be in my profession, I think, because there's so much exciting stuff going on and people are very receptive to speaking with nutrition experts.
You work with pediatrics, preteens, teens, and adults. You work with people who have illnesses.
I do, yep.
Okay, so, well, let me just back up and ask you. I know that you used to work in finance, right? What were you doing in finance?
So I worked in various hedge funds. I was in investor relations and marketing.
Very cool. I like that.
It was actually right around this time of year. I was, you know, happy enough, and you know, the work was fulfilling, and you know, all that kind of stuff. I was, you know, single and no kids or anything like that, living in New York City, and I realized I was. Every time I opened the newspaper or I would go online and read the newspaper, I never went to the business section. I only ever went to the food section. I only ever went to the science section. My old roommate will attest, and she says she's listening right now. I would watch, you know, the Food Network all the time. I was cooking. I was experimenting. And all of it was just sort of that general release for me from my job. And I thought, gosh, it'd be really cool to be able to have a job that dealt with this. And I literally had never even thought that that would be a career path for me. But the more I kind of looked into it, did some research, realized that there were different sort of ways to go about it. I really wanted to be a registered dietitian. I felt like that was the most authentic, evidence-based, you know, really, really well-respected way to go down that nutrition path. So it was a long journey, but well worth it.
It's scary though. It must be scary to, because
it's very scary to quit your job at a hedge fund.
Quit your job, right? It's very scary to quit your job. I did it. I was a private equity, but it's very scary because it's
you're not getting that money.
No. You're walking away from something that's really empowered, and there's a lot going on for you.
And something that I had done for a very long time. I knew I was good at it. I was comfortable at it. To really, you know, radically shift gears was, but I was, you know, I didn't have the encumbrances of, you know, a mortgage or children or anything like that. So I was able to sort of make those changes and not feel, you know, quite so scared about it. But it was definitely hard. I went back to school. I took classes at every community college around here, Westchester Community College, Bridgeport, Norwalk. I hustled and I applied to Columbia, and I got my master's at Columbia. My internship through Columbia. And it was an amazing, wonderful experience.
And you worked over here at the hospital in Greenwich?
I did. First I worked for a local cardiologist in town, seeing his patient population. Then I worked at Greenwich Hospital for a couple of years. And then after I had my third baby, I decided to just shift into private practice.
So the name of your company is Roundtable Nutrition.
Yeah.
And so who are your typical clients?
I see the gamut. I saw when I was working at the hospital, well, so first the local cardiologist, I really just saw patients with cardiac issues, and then which really encompasses everything. But then at the hospital, they sort of siloed us. So I saw a lot of the pediatric patients. A lot of the pediatricians would refer to me, which was great. And then I still saw a lot of the cardiac patients that way. But I've seen GI. I've seen just general weight loss. And we worked in a group that was behavioral health. So we worked with psychologists. So we would share patients, which I found so effective to have a psychologist helping, helping in that process of having someone reach these nutrition and health goals. Because, as we all know, there's so much emotion and psychology with food. So that it was really wonderful to have a professional on that end helping me. You know, I was a professional in the nutrition, and they were the professional in the psychological end. And I really felt like it was an effective team.
I like that because I was even thinking like you and I could be referring clients because I'm not the health expert, but a lot of my clients do want to take care of their bodies better. And I really do think a lot of people don't know, either they don't know where to start or they're caught up in some older paradigm of what it means to be healthy, or whether that means that I have one client that's like, I just don't want to go to the gym and beat myself up anymore. And I think a lot of us are feeling like that, especially as the population ages.
Right.
So
right.
I think that we're waking up also to the fact that pills aren't always the answer, and that we need to take a higher role in
right.
taking care of what we're putting into our bodies.
Right. Yeah. I see a lot of patients that have, you know, recently been put on a statin or want to get off their blood pressure medication, don't want to have to take the medication that the physician is saying, well, you know, it might be time for this. Or they desperately need the knee replacement surgery, but they need to lose weight before they do that. So there's total synergy of that.
What is the difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian?
So the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics is a national organization. That's where I got my accreditation, where I did my exam. And that is, once you pass this national exam, you become a registered dietitian. They have now sort of brought back ownership of the term nutritionist, because nutritionist could be anyone. It could be your trainer at the gym calls uh-huh. himself a nutritionist. Uh-huh. It could be, you know, XYZ calls themselves a nutritionist. There's no backing, credentialing to that. Mm-hmm. But there is credentialing to a registered dietitian. So technically, if you looked at my license, it says registered dietitian / nutritionist. But when you see a dietitian, you know that they have that credentialing. They've had that experience. They have had a master's degree. They've gone through the internship.
And okay, so then Who refers your clients to you, or do people just find you online?
Both. You can be I have wonderful relationships with physicians in town, both on their own or maybe are coming out of the hospital, they will refer, but also psychologists will refer. You know, mm-hmm. they have patients that, you know, weight management issues are part of their therapy, and they'll refer, or just sort of friends and family, and you know, kind of the chatter of moms and stuff like that. People say, hey, I think I maybe want to come in and talk to you.
And when somebody goes to your office, where do you start with them?
Yeah, I think the most effective way, and I'm sure you probably work this way too, is one of the first things I ask them is, what are your goals? You know, I'm not here to set goals for you. I'm here to help you achieve your goals.
Know it? Because I have to take a step back and go, what brought you here? Because I think a lot of the people don't even know what their goals are.
Well, sometimes they're like, well, my doctor told me to come. You know, maybe I don't want to be here, or my wife told me to come, or, you know, I've been meaning to come. Usually people come in with a goal in mind, be it weight loss, be it, you know, pain management, you know, something like that.
Pain management.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. You know, sort of if they're in back pain, you know, something like that, they're trying to alleviate that kind of thing. Yeah.
So, okay, so we were going to talk about, it's the holiday season now, and so it's got its traditional meals, but you were saying that you, I don't know if you use the word coach, I'm using the word coach, but coach people around what is healthy, how can you enjoy the holidays and also be cognizant of the fact that you maybe don't want to overenjoy them because sometimes it's too much food or it's not the right food, so... Why don't you talk to us a little bit about holiday eating?
Sure. So obviously it's fun. You know, you see sort of the joy in children around this time of year. And I think sometimes adults get lost in I don't want to put on the weight that I lost already this year. Or, gosh, this year I always get pressured into eating all the cookies at the holiday party. You know, whatever it is. There's a lot more sadness too. A lot of people struggle with sadness around the holidays. Perhaps loved ones, you know, of loss and stuff like that. And sometimes eating is emotional, you know, is their coping mechanism. So, and drinking is another big part of it. So it's really, you know, it's very specific for each individual. But, you know, things that I always say to people is that if you know, set your own goal, set your intention before you go to the holiday party, before you go to the office party, hold yourself accountable, maybe even text a friend and say, listen, I'm really just going to have one drink tonight. You know, I know that when I have more than one, I end up grazing at the cheese board, and then it all goes downhill from there. I also tell people, you know, scientifically, which no one really likes to hear this, but there has been some studies where literally alcohol changes your brain and makes food aromas smell better and taste better. It actually physically alters it so that it's so much harder for you to avoid those delicious looking things, or, you know, the things that your brain knows, you know, are so tasty. So I always tell people, you know, really try not to have as much, you know, as maybe you normally would to drink at the holiday party or when you're going out, you know, with your friends or something, even though that's not the most fun. Or I say pick a night. Just pick one night a week to really indulge, and, you know, pick the one party that you really, really look forward to every year. Pick that party to just have no guilt. Have no guilt. Just walk in there and enjoy all the, you know, maybe it's your family, a family member makes something that you really love. Enjoy it. Don't feel guilty about it. But really get back on track. Kind of that. So sometimes I say 90-10, sometimes I say 80-20. But, you know, if 90% of the time in the holidays, you're still exercising, you're still drinking your water, you're still eating, you know, a ton of vegetables, 10% of the time, allow yourself to enjoy these special foods that you probably only have once a year.
I hear you saying guilt, and I do think that there's a lot of guilt and emotions wrapped around food. So, and alcohol. That's something I want to come back around to, too. But why don't we start with, what do you mean by emotional eating?
Yeah, I think people eat, especially this time of year, there's so many memories around maybe Christmas cookies that you baked, you know, with your siblings or your parents, and you want to recreate those happy feelings, and then you end up sort of being like, aren't these so great? And you eat more than you think you do. Or maybe you show up to your family's holiday party and they pressure you into eating, like, oh, you love this, you know, don't you love me? Finish the plate. You love me. Finish your plate. You know, there's a lot of emotional, or, you know, maybe you've really struggled this year and you've had some hardships and frankly you don't feel like eating right. You just want to eat, you know, the comfort foods, and you really want to eat a lot of them, you know, and sometimes the pint of ice cream gets finished or all the candy canes disappear or, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's a really some people really struggle this time of year, and I think sometimes they cope with food. And so it's important to really take care of yourself mentally, get the sleep, you know, take care of that stress management, make sure you have strong relationships with family and friends to make sure that those goals, you know, so that you don't fall down sort of a bad eating habit.
I was going totally off of our script that we put together, as I always do. I always send my next guests discussion points and then go totally off script. But I see that there's something on the internet now that they're marketing called Noom. N, mm-hmm. You know of it.
Yeah, for
sure. I don't know what's totally behind it, but I do think that they're trying to integrate psychology, right? You were talking about working with a psychologist, and I was telling you about even my clients. The psychology with the nutrition that, I notice, like, if I'm going through a stressful period, I stop eating. Like, my body will just shut down, whereas I understand other people, when they're going through a stressful period, will start eating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how tied in... what's Noom? Let me start there.
You know, I can't say that I know it very well, yeah. But I've heard the ads on TV and you know, any time that you can integrate multiple parts to reaching your goals,
uh-huh.
which I'm sure you understand as well, is I think that the higher likelihood you are that you're going to be successful, right?
Right.
And the more people you have in your corner to support you and motivate you, you know, to eat healthy, to not make some bad food choices, the more successful you're going to be. And the more you can really think about, you know, why you're doing something, or why is it hard for you to eat healthy in the holidays? Why is it hard for you to avoid the cheese board? You know, why is it hard for you to avoid the desserts? You know, these are things like they pack on calories. You know, these are calories. They will add up. You know, why is it hard for you to only have one drink? You do feel uncomfortable in social situations. Is there someone that, you know, you're having emotional issues with and you need to talk? So it's a lot. You know, have you not been getting enough sleep? And that in and of itself will lead you to make poor choices the next day. So
when you're speaking of sleep, I wanted to ask a question that you and I both agreed was something a lot of people could relate to. So ready? I'm bringing it on.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what question it is, but it's I eat well. And I sleep for 7 to 8 hours. Why do I still feel tired?
I mean, that could be, you know, if someone comes to me and says that, I say, okay, well, let's talk about what you believe is eating well, because, you know, perhaps we're missing something along the way. And I always ask people, describe to me, you know, when I first meet with them, I always ask them what their goals are. And I start with like a recall, you know, a 24-hour recall, a 48-hour, you know, tell me what you eat during the day. What do you, and let's walk through breakfast through dinner and beyond. That way I get an idea of your eating habits, your likes, your dislikes. Do you eat out a lot? Do you travel a lot? Do you cook at home? Do you pick up to go? You know, and then we can kind of, you know, make some changes after that. And I always ask about blood work. I always say, like, you know, have you had your iron levels checked? Have you had your thyroid checked? You know, when was the last time you've had sort of a real workup from a physician? And sometimes you can uncover deficiencies or, you know, things that maybe you're a little bit low in that you need to increase.
Do you do a blood test?
I do not. No. But I would have them speak with their physician to get a blood test done. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here. So I'm thinking about my day because you were talking about the last 24 hours. And I can be, if I'm with somebody, I notice I eat because I enjoy the company of having somebody with me eating.
Yeah.
But if I'm by myself, and especially I was up late coaching somebody to 11 o'clock last night, uh-huh. and then you get to bed and you start your day off and you're running a little bit, feels later because I had to sleep a little later. I got to bed so late. So I start off drinking, you know, a latte. But all the rest of the food at the coffee houses, I know they have their breads. But where does somebody go who's going out the door very quickly and maybe not stopping to have breakfast? What can they do if they're going out the door quickly or before they go out the door to make sure that they're putting something in their body that is going to help them feel good during the day and not crash?
Right. Yeah, I think breakfast, you know, there's a lot of talk, and I don't want to digress. There's a lot of talk about intermittent fasting right now and skipping breakfast. But for some people, they need to have breakfast, right? They need to sort of have that to get up and go, and everyone is different. So when it comes to that, I talk to a lot of people about really changing maybe your lifestyle a little bit to make sure you always have something in your house that you can take that you know is going to give you fat and some fiber and some protein. routine to give you a really good start to your day. That could be, you know, an oatmeal. That could be hard-boiled egg. You know, that it's really whatever speaks to you. It could be cottage cheese. Some people have very strong feelings about cottage cheese.
Really?
Either way.
Bob's some making a face gag. Over there.
You know, it could be a, you know, peanut butter and banana. You know, there's a lot of different things. So I always just say to the person, okay, so let's figure out a way for you to always have those tools ready in your house. You know, maybe it's you go grocery shopping. We now set a set day to go grocery shopping, or you have a fresh direct order that comes and you always have these items available to you. So you really don't have an excuse for sort of, you know, running out without, you can always grab something, you know, make a quick sandwich and head out the door, because it's true. We can all fall prey to the delicious little yummies at Starbucks or at, you know, at the coffee house, that maybe it's just kind of a pastry option, which we all know is not a good one.
Well, that was what happened about an hour and a half ago.
There's no judgment.
It was good, but it was, I was like, but I knew it. And there's not always a lot of great options around.
Right.
This is the other thing I find. If you're out, there's not always a lot of great options with these fast places,
right,
that you can sort of pre-order on your app or something.
Yeah.
You go in and you end up with something bad, and you're just like, oh, well, at least I'll have something in my belly, but you realize
even
it's not good.
Costco has these pre-portioned, and I think Trader Joe's has them too, these trail mixes. You know, they've got some raisins in there. They've got some M&Ms, fine, whatever. But it's filled with nuts. I mean, like, I would rather have my clients keep those in their car so
okay.
they just always have that available to them than picking up a Danish that has zero nutritional value.
Okay, let's get in. So, water. Here's a question. How much water, generally speaking, or however you want to answer, how much water does an individual really need each day?
So when we were at the hospital, we had all of our numbers and goal, you know, things that were very specific and stuff. You know, I always say, If you want the real number, it's 48 to 64 ounces. So I always tell people to get a water bottle and carry it around with you wherever you go. A reusable water bottle. Because then it's greener. But then you're more likely to want to carry it around with you, and you don't want to lose it. If it's a disposable water bottle, you're like, oh, whatever, it's that Poland Spring bottle. Like, I'll get another one. And then you forget, right?
Uh-huh.
But if you constantly refill it, then also you can keep track as to how much you've had.
And it keeps it cold or warm, as the case may be.
Can flavor it with any. Yeah, they have wonderful ones that have infusers in the middle, so you can fill it with, you know, fruits and stuff like that, and it infuses the water. But I always tell my clients, I say, fill it up in the morning, and you can't have lunch until you finish your water.
Uh-huh.
And then fill it up at lunch, and you can't have your dinner until you finish your water.
Okay.
And then that way you're getting at least your minimums for water.
Okay. All right. So you hear that, folks? So how much was it?
48 to 64 ounces. And this time of year, especially, it's important. The heat is kicking on.
Uh-huh.
We're getting a little bit more dehydrated. There's more heat. And also, if you're drinking, you're more dehydrated. So certainly, if you've gone out the night before, you really want to get even more in the next day.
Oh, if you have gone out the night before, let's say, what do people who have gone out and they've drank too much? Is there some way to something that is like the hangover cure that people have? No?
I wish. I'd be so famous right now if
know.
I had that.
Yes.
I don't. I mean, a lot of the time, you know, I guess in the hospital, they give them like a whole bunch of vitamins. I mean, sometimes someone's like, the best thing actually for a hangover is, you know, it's like a salad, which no one wants to eat a salad. I know, right? But, you know, maybe like a green juice or something like that, just getting those vitamins, because you're just depleted.
Okay. So let's talk about cooking oils. All right. So what are the best cooking oils? Is it all I have is olive oil? I think that's all I have. But what?
So,
I'm not somebody to go by.
Yeah. So part of my internship and my schooling was I had to take basically like these wonderful home ec courses, and it really addresses all those basic questions that I think people probably used to learn like way back when home ec was part of your, you know, elementary or middle school.
Do they still offer home ec?
But they do at the community colleges. It's wonderful. These like you learn how to make chocolate pudding. off-putting. I mean, like stuff that is, you know, kind of archaic but really wonderful, and you learn how to make like a roux. And anyways, so when we were doing that, we did a whole thing on oils and their smoke point and all that kind of stuff. So there's a whole host of oils out there now: almond oil, you know, toasted sesame oil, and things like that. And when it comes to cooking, it's really about smoke point. So it's just certain oils will smoke at higher, you know, at certain temperatures than other ones. So olive oil has a lower smoke point, meaning, you know, you won't have the highest heat and it can start to sort of burn and become acrid.
Okay.
So I tend to cook a lot with
it. Explains a lot.
Yeah, right. So canola oil is a very bland oil. There's not a lot of flavor to it. And so it's really nice if you're just trying, you just need that fat content in whatever you're cooking, but you don't need the flavor of it. Olive oil has a really lovely flavor to it, especially mm-hmm. like a very fancy olive oil. So that's when you would want to use it more as like a finishing oil in a salad dressing, you know, or something like that. If you're drizzling it on something, you can certainly cook with olive oil, but sometimes if you're doing something at a high heat, you don't want to use it. And I've learned a lot from my friend Adelaide Mueller. She's a chef.
Let's talk about Adelaide.
And she and I started a business called The Balance Plate, and we teach healthy cooking and nutrition classes in a group setting, and it's just been so much fun. She's a French Culinary Institute trained chef, and I've got my background, and we sort of did this wonderful synergy where we developed these menus where it's healthy but really delicious foods with really complex flavor profiles, lots of spices and really interesting things. And it's been wonderful.
Where are you doing this?
So we host it at people's homes. So someone will be a host, and then we bring everything in. We bring the ingredients and the utensils and everything, and the host gets a group of friends or couples or, you know, whatever it is, and we come in and we all cook together.
And you're cooking, and that is the entertainment, or you're just in
Correct.
The background cooking and
yep,
having
everyone digs in. Everyone gets, you know, gets their hands dirty, and then everyone eats at the end. We just have such a fun time, and I answer nutrition questions along the way, and then we talk about the nutritional profile of what we ate, and it really helps people get out of a rut, because I think what we hear it over and over again is people say, oh, what do I make for dinner? I want to have people over, but I don't know what to make. I'm so intimidated. So we do a family-friendly menu, and we do an easy, entertaining menu. And I think people really love, like, oh, I never thought to do that, or, oh, that's such an interesting way to make cauliflower. You know, that's not boring, or not the way I've been using it.
It is a real... You do get into a rut. You just go back to what you know, and you do need somebody somehow to get inspired.
Yeah.
And even to use a lot of – what is the key to making sure you have options in your home? You go to the store. I'm like the worst person. Sorry, folks. I am like the worst person to like know what to stock your refrigerator up with, especially a single woman. But you can talk to the singles, you could talk to anybody out there. What are some basics you feel like we should always have in our refrigerators or at home so that we can create things on the spot?
Right. I think you know, one of the things I have spoken with people a lot about is those meal kit delivery services, which are wonderful if you're not trying to feed a lot of people. And it's sort of portion controlled, right? So you don't get parsley for 10, you get parsley just for that one dish, which can be very annoying to someone who's cooking maybe, you know, your empty nesters or whatever it is, and you're only cooking for one or two people, and you're left, you know, with all this stuff that's rotting.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, you know, I think those are helpful, and sort of the decision is made for you. It just shows up on your doorstep. But otherwise, I think, you know, if you're just trying to cook for yourself, I think sometimes it's really helpful. I'm sure you've done sort of visualize, like, what do I enjoy eating? What really makes me feel good when I come home at the end of the day? Like, you know, is it maybe a steak, or is it a piece of fish or something like that? And then, you know, meal plan. I always tell people making a plan, writing things down, just write it down in your calendar or on your phone or whatever and say, you know, I really love salmon. I'm going to make salmon, you know, this day. And maybe it won't taste that great, or, you know, but I'm going to learn how to make it. And once you set those goals and your intentions, and the more you put yourself, you know, into it, you'll start to shop for it. You'll set yourself up for, again, like a fresh direct delivery. Again, if you travel a lot or you're just not around to shop, you're working full time, set up a recurring fresh direct delivery that, you know, you have your oil, you have your, you know, basic three vegetables that you like to eat, like asparagus, broccoli, and green beans or, you know, whatever three things. You enjoy carrots. That's wonderful. So make sure you always have carrots on hand. That's what I tell people. Do you like raw vegetables? Pick up a crudité platter. Just always, always have that on hand. You know yourself the best and what you need. But if you can visualize what is really appealing to you, mm-hmm. just make sure you always have it readily available.
Okay. So I feel like I have to write this down. Plan.
plan
ahead.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
A little bit, yeah.
I have to get myself when I'm in the mood to – I sort of like it. I sort of I do like cooking, and I learned a lot from a friend of mine. But I did notice that. I did it for a few days, but then one day it was a little bit late, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to just cook. But it does sound like – you're even, using goals and intentions.
Yeah. And even if it's only – you say, I'm just going to cook three nights a week. The rest I'll figure out. But you just say like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to cook. And then you start to explore things. There's microwavable rice. There's one – actually Trader Joe's has some pretty good frozen food options. I had a client who loved their eggplant parmesan. He would eat like – it was like his go-to. He was like, I love the Trader Joe's eggplant parmesan. God bless. Go for it. You know, you're getting more vegetable. That's great. So I always say, think about what is exciting to you, what's comforting to you. Maybe you have a goal like, I don't know how to cook fish and I really want to learn how to do that. You know, set that goal. Maybe that's your New Year's resolution. I always tell people your New Year's resolutions don't have to be things that you're cutting out of your life. They can be things that you're adding into your life. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to try a new vegetable every month, you know, this year or something like that to really enrich your life. So I always tell people, you know, set those goals. It's just three nights a week that I'm going to cook and I'm going to make sure that I have those three things, and maybe I go shop for it at the grocery store, or maybe I have it delivered, but that's my goal.
And it is really about, I think in so many ways, we're going back to a really like more earthy, like go back to the produce section and go back and maybe get some fish and going away from the processed food, I guess, is my point. Right. Realizing Mother Nature gave us everything we needed and that we're starting to – we've gotten so far away from it that we're starting to go, oh, wait a minute, this is what's good for my body. It's got the fiber, it's got the nutrition, it's got the minerals.
Right.
So
right. I get a lot of people that ask me all the time, you know, should I take a multivitamin? What kind of multivitamin? And I say, there's nothing wrong with taking multivitamin. And there are people out there that are on restrictive diets, so they might not be meeting their nutrient needs through their foods. But like you said, you know, I talk a lot about bioavailability and the synergy of foods that, you know, you need fats to absorb the fat-soluble vitamins. So that's why you put salad dressing on your salad. You know, you need these synergistic effects of things. You can't just eat in a pill, right? Uh-huh. Right. And that there's nothing wrong with taking a multivitamin or your children having one, but the gold standard is always to get it, you know, from your food. Omega-3s are fine in the pill form, but it's really better to get it in food form. So I talk to people about, you know, different ways to get omega-3s that way. You know, your fiber, you can drink Metamucil, but it's also really great to have fresh fruits and vegetables and oatmeal and things like that.
Right. We've got – there's a whole section there at Whole Foods I'm thinking about. And it's so enticing. There's so many bottles there with vitamins and they're $40, $50, $60. And you're like, I think I need this. But you don't know why. But a lot of people say they really aren't doing as much for you. It's like a shortcut. And maybe it's necessary, but it's a shortcut. I don't know. That's some psychological thing.
I don't even know if
thinking.
It's a shortcut. I think it's like maybe it's going to work. You know, maybe, but it really the gold standard. And I always tell people, you know, you can certainly shop the produce aisle, but frozen vegetables are fantastic. They are your quick weeknight friend. I keep bags of frozen vegetables. I mean, always stocked in my house. It's the best way for me to, you know, always have, especially in the winter if I don't feel like roasting rutabaga or whatever, you know, which is like, oof. You know, you're really sick of butternut squash at this point. You know, it's great. It's the nutrient profile is the same as if it were fresh because it's flash frozen at the site. So you're basically preserving them. You know, it's much better even than some of the stuff that's been shipped from like, you know, South America or something like that, that has lost a lot of its nutrient bioavailability through the shipping process. So I always say, oh my gosh, nothing better. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, having, you know, frozen vegetables.
Okay. So now I have to remember, write this
frozen
down.
Vegetables,
frozen
yeah.
vegetables.
Water.
Water, frozen vegetable, and plant. Okay. So we were going to talk about everything gets so trendy. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a few trends. I don't know if this one's a trend, but I forgot to ask you about it, so I'll put it under the trend category. Vegan, vegetarian diets, are they for everyone? And I ask that question because, especially when I lived in California, it was much easier. I felt like there was a lot of options that were really satisfying in the vegetarian area, even if I did it some of the time. When I came back to the Northeast, I was thrilled to be back in the Northeast, but you lose some of those vegetarian options. And sometimes I feel like, when I came back to the cold weather, sometimes I feel like I need something of substance, and I don't know where else to get it but going to meats of some sort or poultry. Talk to me about vegetarian and what the pros, cons, or however you want to explain it.
So just for the listeners that might not know, so vegan is no animal products whatsoever. And vegetarian does allow for dairy, you know, the animal products. vegans, you can miss out on vitamin B12. And so if anyone is following a vegan lifestyle, I always recommend that they do take a supplement because B12 is only found in animal.
And what does B12 do for you?
Lots of different things. The B vitamins are super fun. They're like real workhorses in the body. But a lot of times people can feel pretty tired, pretty run down if they're not getting enough B12. Uh-huh. So that's always an important thing to check again if you are following a vegan diet or a very, very low animal product type of diet. So vegetarian, there has been so many studies about the health benefits of being vegetarian. Even just, you know, the Meatless Monday fun thing to do, even just laying off meat and animal products one day a week has a benefit for your heart, for blood sugar control, for a host of chronic diseases. The more plants you can eat, the lower your risk for cancer, all of that kind of stuff. All chronic diseases have really been, the risk of developing them has been lessened by following a more plant-based diet. And there's wonderful, I think there was a speaker or a book that was out recently about the Blue Zones. Have you heard about the Blue Zones? Mm-hmm. They are pockets in the world where there's super, super low incidence of disease. These are incredibly healthy people. One is Loma Linda in California. I'm trying to think of the other areas.
I know it was like Japan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these, a lot of the people that live in these blue zones are vegetarian or eat very, very few animal products. So it's just very interesting to see that. But this, again, is not being a vegetarian but only eating pizza and French fries. This is a vegetarian really, following that plant-based lifestyle and making sure they get a whole, wide array of vegetables in their diet. But that also does include, like you said, sometimes you feel like you need something a little bit heartier. Vegetarians tend to then, when they do need that, they really add in beans and they add in tofu and they add in mushrooms, things that have a real sort of heft to them that can kind of help mitigate maybe when you're transitioning from an animal-based diet to a plant-based diet. There are so many wonderful, wonderful recipes out there now and meal kit delivery services and people out there really advocating this kind of thing. But for someone that is not, doesn't want to follow a vegetarian lifestyle, that's totally fine. But maybe just being a vegetarian, 2 days a week or something like that, really following a plant-based diet 2 times a week can have enormous health benefits.
It really does change it just your digestive system.
Absolutely.
Everything just starts to work properly. I think generally you do feel better, and I think you just get off course for a little while.
Yeah.
But as you're getting older, you're realizing just how much eating right is going to basically save you from being at doctors or not being able to live the viable life you always thought you would have, because all of a sudden your body starts to sort of crap out underneath you you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah. And particularly this time of year, there's a lot of, heavy foods that are around. Thanksgiving is all about the turkey and, that kind of stuff, and Christmas dinners and Hanukkah and all that kind of stuff can really feel heavy. So the more you can kind of, just have those one celebrations, and then on the, 90% of the time you're really following, a plant-based diet, the healthier you will feel and likely, hopefully not gain any weight.
Okay, what about, we were joking around about Oat milk. Yeah. Oat milk is the new thing. I was watching a show a few months ago. I don't know if it was Vice or one of those shows, but it just happened to be talking about, there was this young entrepreneur, you know, your now standard young entrepreneur is making a fortune. And he was coming over here from, I don't know if it was one of the Danish countries, but he was coming here to build a farm in New Jersey to grow oats because they're just like, they're running out of oats, and I understand almonds as well, because there's such a demand for these milks. So is this craziness, or is there something really, really healthy about cashew milk and oat milk and almond milk?
You know, they are delicious. They are lovely in a latte.
Lovely in a latte. This is known to be a good ending.
The poor woman, I was telling you the story about the poor woman at the grocery store, just absolutely lost in the milk aisle, just talking to someone on the phone saying, "Oh, what? Oatly? What?" And the poor woman, but you know, finally did find the gallon of milk that or half gallon that she was looking for. But you know, from a nutritional standpoint, I question why a client would choose those, because there's not a lot of nutrient density to these products. There's very little protein. There's no naturally occurring calcium. And so I try and say, unless there's a dairy allergy or, you know, very, you know, lactose intolerance, I would steer them towards a regular cow's milk or a soy milk. That both of those have naturally occurring, 8 grams of protein per cup versus 1 gram in almond milk or any of the other plant-based milks, their hemp milk, your oat milk.
What was – you said, okay, that you would steer them towards milk. But what was the relationship between the two that you were saying milk?
Cow's milk and soy milk have naturally occurring protein and calcium in
it.
So, it's just instead of something being enriched or added to it, because I think there are some oat milks or almond milks that do have protein added to it. I always say, you know, don't drink the Frankenstein drink. You know, drink the thing that's normally, you know, this is where the nutrients are naturally found in. And you know, some people are really surprised about the almond milk. I say, look at the nutrition ingredients. It's 1 gram of protein. There's no calcium in it. If you're trying to give this to your kid, you know, there's nothing that's really great about it. Look at soy milk and look at cow's milk. You get so much more bang for your buck. Plus, it's so expensive. They're really expensive milks.
You go into the store, all the drinks are like $3.49 and up.
It's so expensive. I know.
It's crazy.
So I say, unless there's a real reason why you feel strongly against it, I always say go back to cow's milk.
So what should you be giving your kids? 2% or?
Yeah, I think children need, the saturated fat in it is not, it has not been linked to any kind of heart disease or anything like that in kids. And kids need some fat. They need a little bit of that healthy fat, especially for giving it to them in the morning to help sort of get them through their morning at school. Putting it in your cereal. And I think, it's part of our diets as well. We need it. I always advocate for, the fuller fat yogurts and the fuller fat cottage cheeses and everything.
I have one more nutrition question, and then I'm coming around to the personal question. We're good on time, Bob?
How many?
Sure. So this is something I can really relate to, but I think the whole culture, we're built on sugar. And Catherine, I'm telling you straight up, I go through such a dip at some point in the day, or maybe even since I was a kid. I love, like, not cookies and things like that, but I'll go back to Coca-Cola. And it feels great. And I want to break this, but there's something, honestly, that when at certain points in the day, I really do feel like I need sugar. How does one break, or what advice can you give to people around sugar and or how to avoid it or how to start to eliminate from their diet?
Yeah, I mean, there's so first we do sort of the dietary recall so that I can see where those pockets are in their diet. Is it, you know, a sugary cereal in the morning? Is it, you know, a beverage, you know, a sweetened tea, something that they're drinking? So I sort of identify those pockets. And if it's a snack, we talk about timing of your meals and maybe the content of what you're eating before that. So if you're feeling that lull in the mid-afternoon, you know, what isn't, you know, when was your lunch and what did you have for lunch? Was there protein, fat, and fiber in it? Because that will help keep you at a steady state.
Protein, fat, and fiber.
And fiber will help keep that satiety, you know, everything kind of at your blood sugars at a regular level, none of those spikes and everything. I also talk about dehydration. Have you had your water yet today? A lot of times people think, oh, I need sugar, but they haven't had any water to drink at all today.
Hold on a second. I have to write this down. I am not the best at this. Okay.
But so, you know, that mid-afternoon slump can be a factor of, you know, maybe not a great lunch that we need to really enhance and give you some more staying power at your lunchtime. Maybe you're eating your lunch a little bit too early. Maybe you're not drinking enough water. Mm-hmm. And I also talk, maybe there's that sort of mental thing of like, I always need sugar. That's who I am. And I say, well, maybe we should change that. Maybe you don't need to have sugar. Maybe that's just you going back to, you know, your own mind games that you're having, and maybe you just rewire your brain and you say, I don't need sugar. I need sugar. A mint tea, or I need, you know, something completely different, and that's what my body needs. And you sort of train your brain, right? You train your brain and you train it to do something else because you don't really need the sugar.
This one I have to work on. I'm much better than I used to be, but I really have to work on that. We're talking with Catherine Staffieri from Roundtable Nutrition. Do you want to say hello to your kids very quickly?
Yes, I want to say hi to my kids, to William and Matthew and Emma. I hope that dinner's done and you're getting ready for bed.
How old are they?
William is 8, Matthew's almost 5, and Emma just turned 2.
Okay. We have, how many minutes we have, Bob? 5. We do have 5? All right, good. So then let's keep going with you. I wanted you to talk about, what did you tell me? You started to talk about what you're going to start in the new year. Hold on a second. You told me, I'm working on a holistic intermittent fasting program to start in January. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I think intermittent fasting is something that's really popular right now. You know, people, there's a lot of, you know, as everyone knows, I mean, back in the early 90s, it was, you know, the Snackwells and the squeeze margarine and everyone was on this like low fat, but we kept gaining weight, right? And so we realized it was then the sugar, you know, we had too much sugar and we weren't having enough protein. And then everyone became obsessed with having more protein, right? So then we got into the paleo and the, you know, I'm not getting enough protein and that's why XYZ is happening to me. And now, you know, we've become so obsessed with protein. And all this. And I think intermittent fasting has really become this kind of trendy, buzzy thing that people are talking about. And I will say there is a lot of really interesting research about it, particularly if you do have some chronic diseases. It can be really effective with blood sugar management, really effective with blood pressure. And also, I just think in general, it's training you to really go back into your hunger cues. I think we've kind of lost that a little bit.
It's like a reset?
It can be. You can do intermittent fasting as a reset. Some people adopt it as a lifestyle, and that's sort of – I think there are some people out in I can't remember who it is. Someone Silicon Valley, there's a famous person who basically fasts, I mean, all the time, and he's become very sort of famous for his fasting, and that's how he lives. So in the new year, you know, it's just something that I wanted to offer out to people. It's really not for everyone, certainly not but, you know, an effective diet for everyone, but it can be something that we can kind of work through as a program and can be really effective for some people. And holistic in the sense of we're also addressing your sleep, your stress management, your physical activity.
Okay, so I am going to end on a note. I pulled this one out of the 36 modern, what was it? It's the Modern Love Questions, the 36 questions that lead to love, but I thought it was a good question. We'll end on this. Given the choice of anyone in the world, who would you want as a dinner guest?
Oh, that's so hard.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's so hard. As a guest that I'm cooking for?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be so intimidated.
Well, really?
Maybe I'd want someone that would appreciate my cooking. Probably my husband.
Okay. Oh, that's sweet. That's lovely.
He loves what I cook. So that's who I would want. I would be so intimidated if it was anyone else.
Really? That's it? So that was the only dinner guest?
Oh, well, if I was going to have a big party, I mean, I would love to go and have dinner with, I mean, some of the really, really funky, cool chefs out there. And, you know, I love, like, a Tom Colicchio. I love, like, Ina Garten. I mean, I love some of these really great people. And I love watching Chef's Table. Have you ever seen that on Netflix?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. There's just so many wonderful, really innovative chefs all over the world.
Really? All right. So that's great. So, yeah. I mean, 20 seconds. What piece of advice would you give to the listeners out there to take with them into 2020?
Enjoy your holiday meals and be grateful for the food on your table.
That is it, folks. That was Catherine Staffieri. Thank you so much, Catherine, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Bob, at the controls here. And thank you, everybody who's listening. This is Catherine from Roundtable Nutrition, and she was sought after. You know how many people responded
thank
to my...
you.
So take a look if you want to work with somebody next year. This is somebody you can consider seeing. And take care of yourselves better than ever. I look forward to talking to you next week. This is Noreen Ehrlich signing off. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Voice of Greenwich, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Saying it's not real impeachment that's happening. The president is still saying privately he doesn't want this to happen because he does think it's going to affect the legacy of his presidency.
An internal FAA review was revealed during a House hearing today that indicated a high risk of 737 MAX crashes without design changes. Yet U.S. regulators allowed the plane to keep flying after its first fatal crash last fall. More from correspondent Renee Marsh.
We now also know from the head of the FAA these planes will not be cleared to fly this year. He says that this process will extend into 2020.
The November of 2018 internal FAA review showed that without agency intervention, the MAX aircraft could have averaged one fatal crash about every 2 or 3 years. New Jersey Attorney General Gurbir Grewal says the initial evidence recovered in Tuesday's deadly shooting in Jersey City paints a very disturbing picture.
We've obtained digital evidence.